Welcome to the Go Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 109 for September 18th, 2018. And on tonight's episode, we've got Ryan Zeller. Hey, Ryan.
Hello.
We've got Wes Phelan. Hey, Wes.
Howdy, Sean.
I like that clover hat you're wearing, by the way.
Well, thank you very much. I love it. My newest addition.
And we also have WC Nix. Hey, Dubber.
Hey, buddy. How are you doing?
Doing well. Well, we're going to just jump right into this because on Saturday was the big game, the AdvoCare. And Wes, what did we decide? It was just sponsored by AdvoCare. AdvoCare. It wasn't a bowl game. I forgot what they called it.
No, AdvoCare. The AdvoCare
Showdown.
Showdown. There we go. I think that's what it was.
But, you know, did we get a free case of AdvoCare bars, protein bars, or anything out of it?
No.
Oh, but I'm pretty sure TCU got a lot out of it.
Yeah, five million worth.
Speaking of that, though, did y'all? I literally just read this before we came on air that they got robbed. The football team did. All their thousands and thousands of dollars worth of electronics were stolen during practice.
Really?
Apparently, the same thing happened to SMU the week before. The same guy. They have him on camera, but I guess I haven't found him yet.
Wow.
Yeah.
At the stadium there? No,
it was during practice. It happened at TCU.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Micah just found that before.
He hit SMU the week before at SMU, and then he hit TCU this week at TCU.
Yeah, I'm going to tell Mike to come here and tell the story because I get all my facts confused and then people get mad and, you know, the whole thing.
We'll straighten it out. But until then, let's move on because that's a huge story. I'd love to hear what Mike has.
Yeah.
By the way, for those of you
listening, I'm going to get him to come in here. And when he comes in here, I'll wave and then we can talk about it.
Oh, that'll work. And just a quick, because some people may not know who Mike is. Can you explain his professional capacity?
Who, me? What?
Yes.
You went out. Do I need to...
What does Mike do professionally?
Oh, he is a detective for City of Arlington.
There you go. So if anybody would know more facts about the story, it would be him. So, all right. Well, let's just get into this because Saturday, TCU, Ohio State, the game everyone kind of had circled, at least the first part of the season. And for the first half, it looked really good for the Frogs. Actually, for most of the third quarter, it looked pretty good for the Frogs, and then things didn't quite go well, and TCU ends up losing 40-28. And let's take this step by step. First off, what did you guys see from this game that you could take away and feel good about this team moving forward?
Personally,
what did you see, Dubber? What do you think was a good takeaway from this team's performance?
Hey, there's a lot of good takeaways. I mean, when you look at our athletes compared to their athletes, I felt like I'm thinking, man, they're out athleting us all over the field because they were not doing that. I mean, we had speed. They had speed. We had size. They had size. I mean, when I look at it, you know, I didn't know how good we could be, but after this game, I feel like we got a chance to be really good. I mean, when you look at our stats, you look at everything, everything matched up well. We just had three turnovers. I don't care who you're playing. You have three turnovers like that, you're probably going to end up losing the game. And those are correctable.
Yeah.
And so, I as silly as it is, I feel more positive coming out of this game, kind of how I feel like what our team's going to be like this year. I think we're going to be really good. Really, really good.
I do too.
I'd have to agree with that. I think that, I think we had that game in hand and gave it away. But all the mistakes, I think you said earlier, Dubber, that all the mistakes we had were correctable. I think we matched up well with them. I know they heard how fast we were, and I think when they saw us on field and how fast we were against them, I think they were a little taken back. Sean and I were looking at the tweets from some of their fans saying that all the – and this I thought this was hilarious. one of their fans said, it looks like all the TCU players are wrapped in baling wire and have rockets strapped to their butts, which means they're tough as nails and fast. Yeah, well, yeah, okay, but I cleaned it up a little bit. But which means they're tough as nails and faster than hell. And you know, we impress their fans. I think we impress their team. And you know, it's just – it bodes well for the future. We're going to be a pretty good team the rest of the season. And, you know, going into the next year, good Lord, we could be a dadgum powerhouse next season.
Ryan, how about you? For you, you were in the stands for this game. What did you see that you took away that was a positive?
I saw a lot. I'm like all of y'all. I thought I came out of that game sad, of course, because we just fell apart at the very end. But God, I was so proud of them. And here's the difference between this team and some teams we've had in previous years. This team is from the stands, from sitting in the stands, they do not appear lazy. They don't appear that they take anything for granted. They're always fighting for an extra 3-2-1 inch. They don't grab to tackle and then let go. I mean, in years past, we can remember the team and the players who just didn't care, and you could see it on the field. And it's so frustrating as fans to sit there and watch that. You don't even want to sit there and watch it, let alone probably coach it. But I watched this team all day long lose if they lose the way they did. And I know that sounds weird because I don't like losing, but I was proud of them. And that was a tough team. Ohio State did not make any crucial mistakes. We only lost by 12, and we had 3 turnovers and a whole host of other things that did not fall our way. And we
field goal block.
Yes. And the return called, or the, you know, the touchdown called back for the pass, and you know, just things just didn't go our way, and we still pretty almost beat them. So I agree that we were so much faster than what they anticipated. I think the fans, if you were not in the stadium, it was so quiet on that side, you could hear a cricket chirp. That they were stunned. I had a couple OSU fans sitting down by us, and they just were white in the face. Not even moving. They were paralyzed. The one thing that bothers me about this, the most thing that bothers me about this game the most, is that if you did not watch the game, you look at that score, and it's a weird score. It's only 12 points, but it looks a lot bigger since it's 28-40. And it looks like it wasn't a very close game, but what people don't understand is that we were kicking their, well, I wouldn't say we're kicking their booties, but we were ahead of them 3 quarters, even when we were down, just, I think by 3 points, it felt like we were winning, you know, the energy for almost three full quarters, the energy in there was on our side, and then things just started falling apart. So I, you know, people are out there on Facebook and commenting on TCU and a lot of Ohio State fans are who didn't even watch the game. And I'm like, you know what, go back and watch it, and then you tell me that TCU doesn't belong, or that TCU may not actually be better than this Ohio State team by the end of the season if we stay healthy.
Yeah, now, Dubber, you had an interesting perspective because you were actually working the sideline down on the field doing replay. Not actually the referee doing replay, but you were assisting replay, right?
Yeah, I was just assisting. I was a review guy. They tell me when to go out on the field and when not to, when to stop, you know, make sure that, you know, because I didn't realize that after every touchdown, no matter how silly it looked, running straight in, they still review every touchdown, every turnover, every.
So then let me ask you this. Did they review the strip that Bosa made on Robinson that everybody now says should have been called a safety?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I understand that. I can't say anything about any of that stuff, but I
did they review it though? I mean, can you say if they look at that one?
Yeah, they looked at everything.
Wow. Okay.
And you know, they do look at everything, and so.
Well, and I know we don't want to get you in trouble, man. I know there's certain things you can't say, but
they were up there in the box, and they make their calls, and I'm not privy to all that. They have every TV angle that there is and stuff like that. So, you know, but they're very, I mean, I'll tell you why, it did give me a little more respect, bro, because they're very thorough on what they do. But I will say is first, just personally being on the sideline, you know, like Ryan said, from what I saw from Ohio State, and I've been a player, so I've been on both sides of the fence. I understand. They did not have the look of a team that felt like they were going to win. And I felt like, you know, that shuttle, on the shuttle pass, they intercepted, ran back for a touchdown. If we just punt almost even. But if we definitely go down and score, I think the game's over. I think we win it, no doubt. Mm-hmm. But even if we punt, you know, they were so dejected at that point in time, coming on the field, off the field, defense looked tired. You know, just for me, just looking at them, you know, I'm not there, you know, but I could see. But boy, once that happened, it just brand new life in them. And it changed that one play really changed the perspective of the game.
Well, let's talk about for a moment. Let's talk about that one play, because that was a turning point in the game. But not only that, it was a play that they had tried several times already up to that point, and it didn't look like it was working for us. And I was kind of curious as to why you would call that particular play at that part of the field at that particular down and distance. Did it look, because I just, and the reason why I'm asking this is that maybe you had a different perspective from where you were on the field, Dubber, because from where we were in the press box, that was on the other side of the stadium from us. So it was very difficult for us to kind of get a clear view as to what was going on. Did it look like that was a design play from your perspective, or do you think that was just something that Robinson thought he could get away with at the last second? What did you think?
That was definitely a design play. I mean, it was a design play, and I wish we had never ran it, because you're right. We tried to run that play a couple of times earlier. It hadn't been a very good play for us. I wish we'd just chunked it at that point in time. And it was definitely a design play. I don't put that one – you know, now Robinson's got to learn, hey, even if it's a designed play, you got to look. If a disaster is going to happen, you got to pull back. But I feel like, you know what, I even read an article today about Patterson saying that we shouldn't have ran that play. We tried to go to the well too many times. And that's what I don't understand sometimes. And don't get me wrong, I love Sonny Cumbie. Mm-hmm. I love what he's done and this and that. But sometimes I think, you know, from my perspective, we were lining up doing just fine, running the ball, what I call regular football plays.
Yeah.
Slant. I'm not saying just running the ball, throwing the slant, throwing the plays we were throwing.
Work in the middle of the field.
All that. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like every time we tried a little trickery, it didn't work out as near as well. And at that point in time, I didn't think we needed any trickery. I thought our offensive line was lining up there and hammering their defensive line. And, you know, hey, they're going to make plays at times, but, hey, we were gashing them and gapping them. And, you know, I just wish we'd have lined up and kept playing a little smash-mouth football with them and then kept throwing the ball when we needed to, because, hey, they couldn't cover Rager. They couldn't cover Barber. I mean, sheesh. I mean, it didn't use – I mean, hey, Anderson is – people don't understand.
He's awesome. You know,
as good as – all right, y'all help me with the name. Big boy. Other running back.
Shalo, yeah.
He is really good. But yeah. Anderson is a 100% difference maker once he gets – once he gets the ball in his hands, what he has a chance to do every play, you don't do that all the time. In fact,
crazy about Anderson though is that as great as that run was that he did, that 94-yard or was it 93? No, that's right, because they moved the ball up to the 7. 93-yard touchdown run. It still looks like he hasn't quite found that last gear that he had before he got injured.
Oh, and he will.
And that's insane. You know, I'm sure he will. I'm sure he's still kind of rehabbing that a bit. But even after that, he was still faster than any other guy on the Ohio State defense.
Unbelievable. I mean, I'm just telling you, the last guy we've had like that might be LT. I mean, just a true running back that could change the course of the game.
Well, that's apropos, because that 93-yard touchdown run – supplanted two 89-yard touchdown runs that LT made during his career at TCU, which were both school records. So now Darius Anderson has the school record for the longest touchdown run in TCU history. And for the cherry on top, that is also the longest play from scrimmage given up by Ohio State in its history.
And I think it might have been one of the longest. I just read this too. I'll look it up before we get off. But something like one of the longest runs ever in AT&T Stadium as well. Add to one more stat on that. Kudos to our offense. 511 yards of offense against Ohio State were the most surrendered by the Buckeyes in a game in over the last, not one, not two, not three, but four seasons. And that's incredible. And just, okay, so how many, can we relive this for a second? Make it clear in my head. How many times did we basically give the ball to Ohio State where they ran it back in for a touchdown? Twice.
So you had the Bosa strip sack in the end zone that should have been called a safety but was called a touchdown. You had the pick six on the shovel pass, which I'm with you, Deborah. You know what I think they ought to do with the shovel pass? They need to get a shovel, they need to go outside, dig a hole, throw that play in the hole, bury it with the dang shovel, and I don't want to see it again for the rest of the season.
So you take those two plays away and we won, and that doesn't even count our missed field goal, doesn't count our football, right? Our touchdown that got called back. It doesn't count. I mean,
okay, so you had two touchdowns called back by penalty.
Yeah.
Sorry, Deborah.
I wanted to make that, because you made the point, Ryan, that we had two turnovers or three turnovers. But now I want to make the point, it wasn't just that they were three turnovers. Two of them were for touchdowns.
I know.
That's – you want to talk about throwing insult to injury.
And they were, it was gifted to Ohio State.
A fumble recovery – and an interception that they intercept on the 30 and run back to the 50. No. We're talking about giving up 14 points that the defense had nothing to do with.
Well, and then you got another 14 points. And of course, yes, I can hear people screaming, well, but that, you know, if they hadn't done that, you know, things may have changed differently later down the line. I get that. But you've got the two turnovers that go for touchdowns. You have the missed you had the touchdown called back by Anderson on the hold by Turpin that ended up with a missed field goal. So there's 7 points that got wiped out and an additional three because he missed the field goal. And then you've got the little trickery play on the kickoff that was called back because Turpin didn't throw a backwards pass. He threw a forwards pass that would have – it was set up beautifully and would have been another 7 points and probably would have been the turning point. It would have at least stemmed the tide and would have given TCU life back. But those are really big – four big miscues, not including the blocked punt that happened on Nunez, nor the couple of the bad punts that he had in the game. I mean, it was just – there were so many mistakes that if you were to tell us last week, here's what TC is going to do. They're going to have a pick six, not the defense. This is – the offense is going to throw a pick six, a strip sack in the end zone. You're going to have a missed field goal. You're going to have a touchdown callback on a hold that's going to end up with 0 points. You're going to have a sure touchdown on a kickoff that's going to be called back on a penalty. Oh, yeah, and by the way, X, Y, and Z. And you're going to have an additional interception at the end of the game. But you're only going to lose by 12 points. Would anybody believe that?
No.
And then you say, and then Ohio State's not going to make a single mistake in the game.
Yeah.
And you still lose by 12. It's like
speaking of punting, Nunez has always been one that stands about 10, 12 yards back behind the line of scrimmage and punts it. It's all of a sudden we switch to that rugby style punt.
I hate that punt. I don't know what he was doing.
I don't know. I mean, is that the Dubber? Was that kind of a call punt formation, or is that something he just did on his own?
I'm assuming that that's what they're kind of doing now. I'm assuming it's because of the returner, and they didn't want to kick it to him. So they're trying to do that rugby style, kind of slide to the right, buy a little more time for our coverage team, and then not just give a very, not give them a good punt to field to run down the field.
Well, that's a good that's a good thought if everybody does their job blocking.
That's right.
You know, when you're like,
well, it's not just blocking. Let's be honest. I mean, Nunez dropped the drop the
Yeah, so
I mean, you can't blame that necessarily on the blockers, because I'm sure they've got an internal clock going, you know, 1,000, 2,000
go. I was on the sideline right there, dude. That you can't cut it any other way. I mean, I can't blame that on anybody except for the drop. I mean, the drop ball. Hey, he was lucky to get that thing off. He kicked it between three people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing that wasn't another block for another touchdown. You know,
so,
that would have been.
So I will say this, in saying all that, that's why I have high hopes.
I know, right? I'm
with you. Now we got to clean up those mistakes.
Yeah.
But hey, you know what? And I don't know if it's time to go to this or not, but I'm going to. Sean Robinson.
Yeah.
I love his demeanor. Gosh. I mean, you know, I mean, to be that young and just to come back out and be poised after mistakes, after mistake. I mean, you know, I thought he, what kind of makeup he has. Yeah, does he need to work on the deep ball? Yeah. But let me tell you something. He hit the slants all day long.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I love it that we've taken back the middle of the field again.
Yeah.
I mean, we have. We've taken that back where for the last 2 years, we've been totally away from that. And now we're back to the middle of the field. You know, our offensive line played pretty dang solid for, you know, I'm going to tell you, Bosa is quick. They're talking about that guy being in the top five picks in the draft, you know, and there's a reason why. I mean, he's really good. But their quarterback, I'm telling you, I saw him. He was beside me and Bosa. They'd have to walk by me at the same time. He makes Bosa look like he's a freaking running back.
Really?
I mean, he is a big man. But you know what? We rattled him too.
Yeah.
Ben, I think Ben's been pressing. Madigan's been pressing. I thought he had a great game. I mean, he lit the quarterback up several times. Mm-hmm. He pressured. That we kept constant pressure on the guy.
Well, there was a lot of fans I know that were arguing that Banigou just seemed to fall off the face of the earth in this game. But you got to realize that this Ohio State front five is probably the best offensive line, probably will be the best offensive line this team faces all year long.
Yeah, but it also shows how much we miss Ross Blacklock in the middle, because we're not getting that bull rush or that push up the middle we have when he's in there.
Right, yeah, but at the same time,
at the ends a little bit more.
Right, but at the same time, you got to factor in is all the mistakes that the offense made kept putting the defense back on the field quickly. Mm-hmm. And even with all that being said, Banigou still showed up late in the game in a big way, because he, like you said, Dubber, he kept getting back to them. Even if he wasn't sacking them, he was a footstep or two away from him, and that has got to rattle you as a quarterback, thinking that I've got this great line, nobody's going to get to me, and this guy is nearly gonna rip my head off every other play.
We hit him more than he's been hit all season long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, more than he'll be hit for the rest of the season.
Now let me tell you, I'll tell you this, I got a lot of respect for him, because he stayed in there and he played a good ball game. I mean, he's a good quarterback, you know, and he got the ball out of his hands quick, you know, and stuff. But I was excited. Well, I'll tell you, there's two things I was excited about: our defense. One, I thought our pass rush came back. I mean, kids started looking like I thought they should have looked like. But I tell you what, our corners, you know, when you're out there on the island all by yourself, I thought they did an outstanding job, because, you know, one of the touchdowns, Patterson blamed on himself, because he said it was a formation. I think he said it was a formation that they hadn't went over, and said, so we just weren't lined up right. He said it wasn't really safety's fault. But there was supposed to be safety help over the top. He goes, but he didn't know, because we hadn't seen that formation. He said, so I take blame for that.
Yeah, that was that deep pass to the edge of the end zone. Yeah, and he had the corner beat by about four steps, and that was one of those that you had to have safety help over the top, and the safety had no idea. And
secondary. They played well, I thought.
They did amazing. There was one play in there.
One-on-one.
What was it? Lewis? Lewis did a fantastic job, but one real standout has been Gaines. He was all over the field in that first half.
Yeah. Oh, he was a monster. But what really saw the emergence of Ennis Gaines as a starter. And he's been a starter for a while, but he really played his heart out. And also Noah Daniels, a cornerback. That kind of gives Gary that big corner he's looked at.
Yep.
And he's 6'2", 205. And, you know, most of our time, our cornerbacks are 5'10", 185 pounds or 180 pounds. They're little guys. But Noah Daniels is a pretty big guy, and he seems to hang with those guys, those taller receivers, pretty well. And speed-wise, he measures up fine. He looked great. I think we're in good hands.
Yeah, not to mention Wallow.
Oh, my God. Have we ever had a linebacker that fast?
He looked like he was all over the field on Saturday. I mean, he'd line up left, the play would go right, and he'd meet the guy at the line of scrimmage. It's like, where in the world did you come from? And it happened constantly in that game. I was really impressed with his speed and his nose for the ball. Now, a couple things, though, I do have to criticize. Tackling. We had a lot of missed tackles on defense. But, again, that kind of goes back to young team, mistakes.
Yeah.
But mistakes that are correctable. We don't have mistakes. We don't have holes in the defense because we're lacking depth or lacking talent. We have issues with the defense on just some basic things that need to be corrected, and a lot of that's just due to youth.
Yeah. Well, they were a few times, you know, from my perspective, they were coming in and trying to make the big hit.
Right.
Well, you got to make the big hit with your arms wrapped around the guy in case he decides not to go down when you give him the big hit.
Yeah. And that goes back to the youthfulness. I mean, they've got to know in those situations.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
Just wrap up, let the other guy clean it up. You know, don't try to make the Sports Center highlight every play.
Yep, you're right. You're exactly
right. So, go ahead, Deborah.
I thought we did well. If we cleaned up the turnovers, that can't be a continued habit.
That's me.
No, that can't be.
Ryan, you got your phone like right next to your microphone.
No, it's not my phone, but I was sending y'all that article about the theft. So I'm the reason that everybody else's phones are dinging. Put your phone on silent.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, but anyway, we clean up the little stuff. I mean, you know, we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. I feel good about it.
I do too. And I think that was a consensus for most everyone. Our hearts broke for them. We should have won that game, but man, not to say what everybody's saying, but the future is bright. I mean, it does. If we can just keep healthy, I don't see why we can't win the Big 12. I mean, we look good. So, hey, okay. So I've got that article, and then we can go on to, I need someone after
I'm
talk.
I'm reading this here. This is crazy.
It is. So last week during practice at about 5:15 in the evening, there was this kid in an orange shirt. He's on the cameras. We'll post the picture maybe on Killer Frogs because they still can't find him, but it's a great picture. I mean, you can tell who he is. I mean, if you had a fingerprint or something, you know what I mean? But he apparently was just hanging outside the locker room. And anytime somebody would walk in or out, he would turn around, just kind of nonchalantly get back on his phone. And then finally, when nobody was around, he slipped in there for about 10 minutes and apparently stole thousands of dollars worth of electronics. Yeah. So he knew exactly where to go, what he was doing. And they say that this is the same guy that they're looking for that just had the same thing happen on their campus.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
1 week earlier on September 4th, he hit SMU, and then he hit TCU on September 11th.
Jerk.
So he went called North Texas.
Yeah, right? Yeah, North Texas is going to be next on that list.
Yeah.
I mean,
speaking of North Texas, did y'all see that fake fair catch?
Great, great, great. One of the greatest plays.
Oh, it was.
Of all time.
Beautifully done. I tell you what, my hat's off to him. That was great.
I watched an interview with the kid, and he's like, all I was hoping is that I didn't get lit up because, you know, I'm not putting in my hand, but I am acting like I fair caught catching it. I'm not going to move.
Well, I didn't see this. What happened?
I'm going to relax when I catch the ball so it looks like that I'm fair caught. And he goes, and when I relax and them guys stopped in front of me and walked by me, he said, I knew I had it. And then, of course, he took off running again. And how long was it? I mean, it's 60, 70 yards, 80 yards. I don't know how.
He deserves an Oscar for that acting job.
Really good. So wait, I didn't see this. So he didn't call a fair catch?
No, but he relaxes like he is. So when he catches it, they're about 5 yards from him when he catches the ball. And when he catches it, he never moves. And he kind of relaxed like, you know, if it's to give the ball to the referee. The two guys from Arkansas stop right in front of him. One of them runs and walks by him on one side. The other guy walks by him on the other side. And all of a sudden, he takes off running down the left sideline. It goes the whole way for a touchdown.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
They said they've been working on it for about a month.
He just relaxed. He bounced twice. And then the other guys just kind of let up a little bit, and he took off. And it was a beautiful
As soon as they walked by him, he took off. It was unbelievable.
I'm going to find the highlight on that one.
Texas 3-0, they throttled Arkansas.
Wow. God, they're good this year.
You think Chad Morris is getting some heat right now?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably a little bit, yeah.
Yep. But good for them. I mean, they deserve it. They've done everything the right way. They kind of remind me of us when we were kind of wandering around in the desert of conferences. And I'd like to see them land somewhere because that's a fan base that has a lot of energy and really, really supports their team.
Yeah.
But they haven't really gotten a whole lot of respect. But as this Metroplex continues to grow and goes north, I think that would be a fantastic team to add.
Sure.
To one of the
got votes for top 25 this week, so that's good.
They shouldn't just get votes. They should be number 25.
Yeah, they should be. You're exactly right. You know, they're picked to win their side of the – what is the Sun Belt? They're picked to win their division.
Are they Sun Belt or are they – Sorry, are they Sun Belt? Okay, I didn't.
I don't know. I can't remember. That's terrible, but I can't remember.
I wonder how long they have the greatest to the top.
Turn of that I've seen in a long time.
Yeah,
we'll find that highlight. We'll post it in the show notes. Ryan, what were you saying?
Oh, I was just wondering what the statistic was on. I mean, I know they've been on the cusp of being really, really good the last couple of years. They just haven't quite made it across the finish line. But I wonder how many years it's been since they've been ranked in the top 25.
Oh, goodness. That's been a while. But you know, I think they finally found a coach. If he stays with them, I'm sure he's going to be on the top of somebody else's want list here pretty soon.
I'm sure Del Conte's on the phone with him right now.
Yeah.
Well, that takes us to a big one this weekend.
Is he member of Mensa? That's the important thing.
I tell you what, I have absolutely no respect for either one of those two teams, but that looked like two very average football teams playing and not a top 25 matchup.
Yeah.
I've got a question. Just and we don't have our gambling person on the phone with us tonight, but when they do the spread, don't they kind of give the away team
the home team like 3 points basically.
3 points, right. And so we're only picked to win by 2.5 points. That basically means we're 2.5 point favorite. Are gonna lose? I mean, like they gave them three.
They gave them 3 points. So really, in the mindset, we're probably about a 5.5 point favor, but they're giving three because we're traveling there.
I mean, where do they? What kind of math do they go by?
we'll need to ask Tom Harmon about that because I can't quite do high level math. I'm sure there's an equation in there on how they figure it out, but I can't add or subtract like he can. So, you know, we'll ask him at the press conference.
Well, Ryan, you know what? You know why it moves? Because
for people gambling on it, picking.
They just put out a number.
Yeah.
They think that half is going to bet one way and half is going to bet the other way.
Yeah.
That's what it all boils down to. That's amazing. They're a lot of the times they're good at it, but with the Texas deal, that's what they're, it's Texas. So they're going to skew that every time.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, right now there's gonna be a lot of Frog fans betting on that line because.
Oh yeah, I would.
2.5 point favorite. Shoot, yeah, we're gonna cover that without a problem.
We covered the spread for the Ohio State game, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. I guess that is one bright spot, but I mean,
so lots of people lost a lot of money on that. Good, yeah. I'm glad.
Well, there were talking about up in the press box. So a couple things interesting. Yes, Mack Engel was actually in the press box this week, so I know people asked us that. Yes, he was there, but. There was at the very end of the game when Ohio State started taking a knee, which, by the way, very classy on their part.
Yeah,
because they could have scored. They could have gone down and tried to score another touchdown or kicked a field goal or whatever it was. But my hat's off to them. They had some issues with some of the Ohio State fans, but for the most part, they were very nice. They were great fans, and the team was very classy. So hats off to them. But up in the press box when that happened, when he started taking a knee, there were two guys down behind us. And I heard one of them was just cussing up a storm because you could tell he probably had a bet that TCU wasn't going to cover the game. He was so happy when that interception happened. And he was like, yes! And you were talking about earlier, Dubber, we were talking about, you know, places you can't cheer or can't show any favoritism. And I know you kind of had a little excitement during some of the plays on the sideline that you couldn't technically show. And Shannon had a couple of instances as well. We had Mark Cohen right behind us. So I kept having to like nudge Shannon. It's like, you can't do that up here. But literally there was a guy just a few spots down from Mark Cohen that was just ecstatic that the interception happened and then was totally dejected when they started taking a knee. So there is that.
Yeah. So that was good.
Yes. That kind of brought a small smile to my face. But it was an interesting game. But hey, let's talk a little bit. You know, this game, this is a young team, and we all thought we would be able to win this game. And minus the mistakes, for the most part, this game really was TCU's to lose. I mean, we mentioned Wes on the post game. This was really a game where TCU beat TCU,
right?
And but. Let's use the lens of this particular game, and let's focus a little bit further on down the line. Yes, we've got Texas. We'll talk about Texas in a minute. But what do you think? How do you think that this performance? How does it bode for the rest of the season?
Well, it should encourage them. I mean, it should have proven to the players that they can hang with a number four team or a top five team in any game. I think they can hang with anybody. In any game, but they've got some mistakes they got to clean up, and there's some, you know, the offensive line's got to continue to mature and play together as a unit. But you know what? I think it ought to serve as a measuring stick for them, if nothing else, to show them that they can play with anybody, that they deserve to be in the mix for a couple of things, but they're going to have to earn their way through it. And can't let up. You know, there are no good things. There's no such thing as a quality loss. And I agree with that. A loss is a loss. There's no separate column for a quality loss. You know, 20 years from now, it'll still go down as a loss. But it should be proof positive to those guys that they can play. They just correct the mistakes, gain a little maturity, and they'll be right in there with anybody.
Dubber. Do you think that outside of Oklahoma, do you think that we'll find any other team that matches up position for position with Ohio State as we go into the Big 12?
Well, probably not the total package. I think West Virginia's offense is going to be awfully good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about Oklahoma State. Their offense came out. They were awfully good. But, you know, I think we're still going to be fighting against the same thing. Things we always find against in the big, you're going to be ready to play every week. But total package wise, I mean, I just think that shows us, that, you know. But really, what I'm hoping is, I'm hoping that it went as it all plays out. And don't get me wrong, I want to win every game, but I hope West Virginia's a stout game. I hope Oklahoma's a stout game because. I still think for us to go all the way, even if we go undefeated, if we can, we need to show that our conference is pretty solid.
Yeah.
And from top to bottom. And, you know, I got a little tickled this week because, you know, we lost. You know, there's only two. I guess us and Baylor lost, right? But everybody else won.
Baylor lost to Duke.
But because again. Because Texas won, I still believe this. Because Texas won, all of a sudden I heard, oh, it's a great weekend for Big 12.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, my best friend, who's a Baylor grad.
West Virginia didn't play. We played the number 4 team in the country. We got beat, even though it was a good game. Texas beat USC, who's subpar. I mean, you know, you say what you want to there. And then Oklahoma State beat Boise State.
Yeah.
And then we had to start the conference with Oklahoma and Iowa State. And so I just got tickled that they said, oh, it was a great weekend for the Big 12 on non-conference. Well, they're talking about one game. Because what the mindset is, and that's why I say it 100 times, and I hate to say it, Texas has got to be relevant. They beat a just a subpar USC team, and all of a sudden it's a relevant weekend because
Texas is back, baby. Until next week when they're not.
Yeah, until they're not. Well, hey, that's what I keep saying. All I do is want to be relevant out of the postseason, and that they can be relevant in our conference just so they ain't relevant with me.
Right.
You know, keep on going.
Well, I'll end with this, and then one last question for y'all. But I had my best friend's a Baylor grad, and he was down there with me on the sideline back in 2014 with that crazy, crazy game, which we will not rehash. But right after the game, sitting in the press box trying to put everything together as far as what happened, he texted me and he said, man, TCU is legit. That's high praise. Trust me, that's high praise from him, from a Baylor grad with, you know, everything that you know, the two teams and just his impression between TCU and Baylor. So, I mean, if he came away seeing that game as a TCU is the real deal, and we saw a lot of tweets over the last couple of days that have said the exact same thing from a lot of different sources across the press and the media, and it was the highest rated college football game, I think, this season, or it has been in the last couple of years, that a lot of people saw that game. And a lot of people apparently saw it for what we saw it for as well, and that this is a really good TCU team. If they clean up mistakes, they can hang with anybody. And that is, you know, there's not a quality loss. I agree with you, Wes, but if you're going to take a good message out of this game, and I don't care what Mac Engle says in his stupid article, if you're going to take a good message away from the game, that's it right there. That the entire country saw that TCU can hang with the big boys, and it's a young team, just got to clean up some mistakes. But that happens in football.
Maybe we should have Mac on for our guest next week.
No. I am vetoing that suggestion. Moving on.
I have a question, though. With all that being said, you know, Ohio State stayed where they are, which it's hard to fluctuate when you're that high.
Yep.
But then
we dropped two spots. We're now number 17 in both the coaches and the AP.
And I was so irritated about it. I didn't go back and look at which other teams are behind us or in front of it jumped us. I know a couple jumped us, obviously, but it's just interesting. I didn't necessarily think we should move up, but I really did not think we should drop. We were already pretty low anyway.
We pretty much are almost right back where we started.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, going through the first three games of the season, I think we are better than that. But I think until we can prove ourselves with this conference tournament, I think we're going to be on the outside looking in. But here's my question. Dubber, I think you mentioned earlier about having to go undefeated in the conference and that it's a possibility. And I totally think that this team has every skill and has every quality that a team needs to have to go undefeated through the Big 12 and win it. So here's my question. Let's all gaze in our crystal ball. Further on down the year, TCU's the Big 12 champion. We face, in the first round of the playoffs, Ohio State. Do the Frogs win?
Yep.
Yeah, is there any doubt after what you saw on Saturday that this team is not going to lose twice to Ohio State?
Exactly.
No, you know what? I get a totally different feel. You know, last year, and I hate to talk about last year's team, But last year, I hoped, I prayed, I did a lot of things, did my little victory dance deal. It did work. I felt like Oklahoma was better than us.
I think you did a rain dance, man. I think that's
what. No, I did a victory dance. It just didn't work. Rain came in my big tears. But, you know, last year I felt like Oklahoma was probably better than us. I mean, you know,
they were.
After the game Saturday night, I didn't feel like that.
Right.
I didn't feel like it was better than us. I felt like we made some silly mistakes. Now, don't get me wrong. The Bosa strip was a great play. The other play was we gave them a gift. You know, we gave them a couple of gifts. And I just feel like if we clean some of that up, and if we don't have mistakes and they don't have mistakes, I think we beat them straight up.
Yep.
And that, so that's my difference from last year this year. I just feel like I think we're good enough to play with them. And I think if we play them good and we don't make mistakes and they don't make mistakes, I think we're good enough to beat them.
You know what else is great is that since we did have the highest ratings on that game, that is another reason that's another little feather in our cap, because now they know that matchup will get good ratings, because we know what happened in 2014.
Oh, that's was a part good of point. The, I hadn't thought of that.
Right? And so maybe that will play into it. Oh, you know what? Let's see them play again.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll make money. I bet you if it comes down to us and another team like it did in 2014, and it's possible matchup Ohio State TCU or Ohio State versus somebody else after season, that's a good point. I guarantee you they'll be talking about that in the committee.
And one of the games is at AT&T, right? On the road to the.
Is the Cotton Bowl one of the playoff locations this year?
I think they were advertising that during the. During our game, I think they were saying that we're one of the ones. I don't know which one. I'd prefer not to play there ever again. But yeah, I hate that we would have to play our conference championship there. I know we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but let's just play our conference championship there and then maybe play again there again right after that. I don't like that. But
well, the thing is, I don't mind it because I think our team would be familiar with them. I want every advantage I can have.
Yeah.
You're right, by the way, Ryan. The Cotton Bowl and the Orange Bowl are the two locations for the playoff games. And then the national championship is in Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, which,
Well, and that's where so we'd play in Santa Clara then that's actually an awesome stadium. I was just there. That's really cool.
So you got to fly into San Francisco then, huh?
Or San Jose. San Jose is better.
If we go to San Francisco, Killer Frog will provide poop maps for those.
Don't fly to San Francisco.
So you know we're not to step in San Francisco.
Yeah, go to fly Southwest to San Jose, then you can skip all that.
There you go. There you go.
Literally.
Well, I think with that, really? I think we've. I think that's a good cue to end the podcast right there.
I've worn out my welcome.
We start talking about poop bags, and I think that's the end of the podcast.
Okay.
Well, we do want to thank everybody who's listening to us out there. Before we go, though, we do want to make one other quick announcement, and that is, of course, this weekend TCU is going to play against Texas. We actually didn't give score predictions, so you want to do that real quick? Nobody's picking Texas to win this game, right? Dubber.
Correct. Even Texas people aren't picking Texas to win.
I know
this is great.
So let's do one quick round. Let's do score predictions. And then, by the way, before we do that, we do still have seats on the Killer Frogs bus. There's about 10 or so left, maybe a little less than that because we keep getting sales all day long. So if you haven't gotten your ticket yet, you can certainly get one when you get to DKR. Don't worry about that, but definitely get your seat on the Killer Frogs bus. So go to killerfrogs.com. You'll find it in the right column, or just go to killerfrogs.com/store and you'll find it right there as well. So with that, let's go ahead and go through predictions, score predictions, TCU versus Texas on Saturday. Wes, we'll start with you.
Oh, put me on the hot seat first, huh?
Yes.
I say TCU 27, Texas 14.
Okay. Low scoring affair.
Fairly low scoring, yeah. Texas does have a decent defense, but I think we'll wear them down and wear them out in the fourth quarter. 27. Okay.
Ryan?
I'm going to go TCU 42, Texas 10.
Ooh. 10. Mm, I like that one. Dubber?
I'm going to say 35-13.
I like those last two score predictions. Unfortunately, Dubber stole mine for Texas, so I'll have to make some adjustments on my score prediction. I'm going to say it is 38 TCU, and I'll give Texas 14. So there you go.
Okay.
All right. But it's going to be a good game, and Frog's definitely going to win this one. I think this team bounces back. I think they don't look like teams in the past where they get shell shocked after having a game or a couple of mistakes like that. Especially like what Dubber said, Robinson looks cool, calm, and poised. So I think he's going to come out with fire in his eyes, and he's going to take care of Texas down in Austin. So we'll enjoy that game for sure. And with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. So I want to thank everybody who's listening to us out there. The podcast is available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, pretty much everywhere podcasts are found. Of course, you can find Killer Frogs on social media. We're on all the popular platforms, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. I don't think we have a Pinterest page yet, do we, Ryan?
No.
No Pinterest. So,
yeah, I love Pinterest. We'll work on that.
or Tumblr? Do we have Tumblr?
I don't even know what that is. I've seen it, but...
Is Tumblr still around? Tumblr still a thing? For a minute there, I thought you said Tinder. No, we're not on Tinder. Anyway, so we are on all the major social media platforms. And, of course, you can also find us on killerfrogs.com and also get all your TCU news on frogswire.com. And with that, we come to the end of the podcast. It's the time where we all get to knuckle up and say...
Go Frogs!